Well, I'm back. Hallelujah. God has been so good. He has been so good. He has blown our minds in the days after. You know, the scripture says that God works all things together for the good of those who love Him, and we have absolutely seen Him doing that, for sure. You know, I had a thought during worship hit my mind, and I just wanted to share this. Being a Christian does not mean we won't go through bad things. It means we will not go through it without Him. We will not go through it without Him, Jesus. God has done so much in just the last couple of weeks. You know, I wanted to share a little bit just about what happened. I did take a pretty bad fall off a ladder. The ladder gave way under me, and I tried to recorrect. Last thing I remember was trying to land on my feet, somehow landing on my face. So, no more swan diving. And there was a stump that somehow I bullseyed right in the middle of. So it did fracture my nose bone, you know, do some damage, a lot of damage to my face. But they did a phenomenal job sewing my face back together, doing all the work that they did. You know, we went to the emergency room, and they immediately said, the doctor there said immediately, walking into the doors, I remember it because I was coherent through the whole thing. He's going to Houston. There is no other option. It's not going to happen here in Beaumont. So they, of course, put me on an ambulance, sent me to Houston. And that was God. Because the girl that sewed my, you know, my face back up did an amazing job. I was awake for all of it. Now, yes, I was doped up. Not gonna lie. They'd given me quite a few shots. Thank God. I mean, you know, sitting in an ER, they're sewing my face back on. She numbed me up, but she took 3 hours and she did a great job. She did it with heart. She did it with excellence. She cared. And I thank God for that. I thank God that we were sent to the right place and to the right person to do that. Also, you know, we were told after that that maybe 70% of the stuff on my face would make it and this and that. And, you know, may need plastic surgery, this and that, all of those things you hear. But none of that. None of it. All of it lived. No plastic surgery, no skin grafts. Everything's good. And that's God. Also, when we went to get my elbow done, which was this week, had surgery on that, the doctor there said, you know, you're going to have a plate, you're going to have a replacement bone, possibly, worst case scenario, but that's CT scan, x-ray, everything showed everything he needed to see. But when he got in there, I was under. All he had to do was put one screw in. So I woke up and the nurse said, I don't remember what I said at first, but she said, you only needed one screw. Because I asked, you know. And once I realized where I was. So right after I realized where I was, I got a word for the nurse. So like I'm right out of anesthesia and I get this word, I get this picture, and so I share it with her. And she starts crying. And a few minutes later, she, you know, left and came back for a minute, and she's like, I've been struggling with suicide for a couple weeks or more, and was in a very abusive relationship and just things going on. So she shared that with me, and of course I prayed for her, and it was good. I mean, it was so, totally a God thing. And then she called a couple of days after my surgery, and she said, she didn't call, I'm sorry, the place called to do basically a survey and also asked me how I was doing, check on everything, and it was a different nurse. And then after she got done, she said, there's the nurse, one of the nurses here that took care of you while you were here wants to speak with you. Is that okay? And I said, absolutely, yes. And it was her. And she got on the phone and she said, thank you. I appreciate what you said in there. I know it was God. And since then, I've talked to my mom and basically said she's getting back into church. And she hasn't struggled with those thoughts and that stuff since. So, hey, what? Yeah, she talked to her own mother. Right. Anyway. So, pretty awesome to see God do that. But anyway, through that, you know, that's just everything has been awesome in a way that only God could do. And, the going through it's rough, yes, but, we've seen God move in so many ways and take care of us in the time of being down. But, you know, I got a word, and I wanted to share this word with you guys tonight. After that, I just got this word, actually, what was it, yesterday, day before, but God started speaking to me, and if you would turn to Psalm 105 in verse 1, we're going to start there. I'll read some of this, but I want to share some things that I feel like God's speaking. We're called to be in this city. God spoke to us before we moved back here. And during that time, when we came back for a time, that particular time that he spoke to us, we were coming back for a funeral in the family from Tennessee, and we crossed the railroad tracks into the city, and I heard God speak to me and say, I want you to secure the inheritance and move back to Vider. And so I shared it with Paula, and of course, you know, we had to take a little time, both of us, to process that, you know, at that time. But secure the inheritance is what he spoke. So little did we know anything that has happened since, of course, because there's a lot. We didn't know we were going to pasture. We didn't want to pasture, honestly, just being real. But God has done some amazing things since. So, you know, the word he spoke to us was secure the inheritance. Okay, so I just want you to keep that in mind. Let me back up just a moment and say this too. When I was about 5 years old, I had an aunt and uncle that at that time pastored a church here in Texas in Tyler. They were not from here. They were from North Carolina area, but they were pastoring a church here in Tyler. When I was 11 or 12, whatever it was, they moved back to my area, and they started pastoring a church there. That is the church that I encountered God in. That's the church that I met Jesus in. And so they would come for visits from time to time when I was a kid, and they would, you know, come see us and stuff like that once or twice a year. But this one particular time, I was about five. I don't know exactly. I think I was 5 years old. But they come, and I was at my grandmother's place, and we all were visiting, having family over or whatever, because they were in town. And they brought me a gift. And this gift, I don't know physically how I still have it, but I know it's God that I still have it, because it's very significant, because it was a piece. It was something to let me know that he knew. And so through this, I've looked back at that. I know, I have known that this is a piece, you know, in recent years that was significant. Of God speaking, of God knowing, of God having a plan, and that I'm supposed to be here. I've known that. But what they brought back when I was 5 years old, I still remember when they handed it to me. And what they brought to me was this. And you can see where the holes, where I did the parachute men thing, you know. So, it survived a lot, but I've hung on to it. Now, through teenage years and younger years, I didn't understand what this meant. I know now. I know. God gave this. This was prophetic. This was God speaking. This was a piece of something to hold on to, and then in later times remember, God called. I was supposed to be here. I didn't know I was going to marry a girl from Texas. I didn't know I was going to be in Texas. I absolutely didn't know I was going to be pastoring in Texas. But God knew. God knew. And so we cross these tracks, and he says, secure the inheritance. Move back to Vidor. Well, what does that mean? All right, let me share something with you. Psalm 105. Bear with me, because I'm going to go through this a little bit and share a few things, but just, it'll all come together, you'll understand. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgment of his mouth. Okay, just that part right here is saying, remember what he's done. Remember what he's spoken to you. Remember what he's called you to. Remember what he's brought you through. Remember when he's been involved and done things that are awesome in your life. Remember when he showed up in those moments when you needed him most and the moments when you didn't. Remember that he knows and that he's there for you. So what I wanted to bring out of this was this. It says, sing to him, sing psalms to him. What have we been doing? We literally sung psalms here in this building, did we not? Before all of this, we sang Psalms. We've been doing that. God gave that idea to Jamie. And literally sung Psalms. So that jumped out at me like, sing Psalms. We've been doing that. Moving on to this. Verse 6 says this, O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever. The word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. Did you catch that? Saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. Now, when I read this, what I heard God say, to you I give the land of Vidar as an allotment, a piece, an installment of your inheritance. Now, I'm not talking about just me and Paula. Talking about us. Let's be clear. We are a body. We are a people. Just like Israel was a people. His promise was to Israel. Right? Not just Abraham. To him and his family, his descendants. All of Israel. So saying, I will give you the land of Canaan as an allotment of your inheritance. Verse 12 says this, when they were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, when they went from one house to another, when they went from one church to help to another, when they went from one person to help, to bless, to encourage to another. The next verse is from one kingdom to another people. He permitted, this is what I'm moving on to. I want to stop there just for a second and encourage you with this. This is what God's saying. He remembers his promises. He does not forget. And we are entering a season where he's going to show us he is not forgotten. All of us. We are entering a season where God is going to do some things we've been waiting for, we've been working for, we've been pressing for. And I'm not just talking about as a body, as an individual, but yes, our city, yes, our church, but so much more. I mean, we're all included. If we're a part of this church of love and truth, of this body, and it's not just us. Yes, he's giving us it, you know, the land is an allotment, but I mean, we're not just talking about us. I believe that we are called to see every church in this city blessed, every church in this city grow. If they love Jesus, they're a church. If they believe that he is who he is, they're a church. And we're called to bless them as much as we're called to bless the lost. Whether whether they receive it or not, because you and I both know lost people don't always receive it. Neither do church people. People are people. Come on. Let's be real. We're called to love. We're not called to figure out who deserves it and who doesn't. We're just called to love. Encourage. Share. Secure the inheritance. How do you do that? You win the loss to Jesus. We do. And we encourage. And we strengthen others. And we bless others. And we reach out. And we do what's in our hands to do. And we pray. And we continue moving forward no matter what comes at us. In fact, the more that comes at us, I think the faster we can run. Seriously. Because even in our, like in our weakness, the scripture says he is strong. I don't know, but you know, in weakness, I've never seen him this strong for me. I mean, I can't say never, I have, but like there's something about being down and not being able to do certain things and then seeing God take care of us and then seeing God do things and then being able as a man to sit back and go, oh, I knew in my mind he was our provider, but it's a whole different ball game when you see him doing it. I mean, that's reality. The bottom line is this, I'm not the provider. I gather what he puts in front of me sometimes, and sometimes I let him do it. Or I grab it when he says grab it. But there is a deception out there in the world. And that deception is taking us men out of our proper place. It's taking us away from our focus. And women, but primarily men. In this area, speaking of this, he is our provider. Doesn't mean we don't work. It just means work should not rule our lives. And it will, and it does, and it can, and I've been there where it did. But what I'm saying is this, God is our provider, God is our source, and God does not forget his promises. So for me and for you, he does not forget what he's called you to do. He does not forget, has not forgotten your callings and giftings. No matter what we've done, no matter how we've messed up, the moment we say, Jesus, forgive me, and we mean it, guess what? It's forgiven. And also, everything he promised is still there. And everything that he is for us is still there, and he will come rushing in to do everything that is in his heart to do for us if we let him. So he remembers his promises. He does not forget. And we as a people are entering into a season where we're going to see fruit. We're going to see things happen that he has on his heart. And we are to keep going and to keep pressing and to keep moving and to keep doing, because our labors are not in vain. He does not forget his promises. So one thing I wanted to say about that, you know, we're going to enter a season of really awesome things happening. Our goal is not to be the biggest church in town. No. Our goal is not to be the most successful. Our goal is to be obedient to him, love Jesus and do exactly what he says. And sometimes that's going to be blessing another church. In fact, many times I'm sure it will be. And sometimes that will be doing whatever he says. But with that, also, every single one of us here stepping into our calling and our place, stepping out and sharing the gospel, stepping out and just like, I mean, come on, guys. If I can wake up from anesthesia and get a word from God, you can too. You can. We all can. The thing we have to step over is our own selves, not getting something. The thing we have to step over is self-doubt. Did we hear it? Did we not? Well, you won't know unless you share it. So step out. Share. If you get something, you feel like it's God, go for it. You'll learn real quick if it's not. And guess what? That's okay. It's okay because you know what? God sees your heart. He knows you're not doing it to get notoriety. He knows you're not doing it for the wrong reason. And if you are, he'll take care of that too and help you fix that real quick. And it's all good. But the fact of the matter is, like anything else in life, if you don't try, you won't learn. God has good things for you and for me and for us and for this city. He is giving us this city. And I'm not just talking about us. He is giving us this city as an allotment. The city is not a city. It's not physical buildings. It's not streets. It's not churches in the church sense of what we think is buildings. It is people. And the inheritance is his. The inheritance is the souls of men. The inheritance is a strong and glorious bride. Not just one person, many people. Strong, growing, God-loving, encouraging churches. People that are lost right now, saved, on fire, loving him. The reputation of this city will change with that. Souls saved, on fire for Jesus, and strong churches. And our job is to encourage everyone, no matter where they go, no matter what denomination. If they love Jesus, we're called to bless. We're called to strengthen. We're called to encourage. We're called to help. They are our brothers and sisters, no matter what. So is everyone else who doesn't know Jesus right now or may be not choosing to serve him. But you know what? They won't know to choose to serve him unless we, not just Paul and I, not just Jamie, not just leadership, not just people in ministry, but every individual steps out and says, hey, do you know about Jesus? Or, hey, God told me this. I just want to encourage you. And let me say something, too, with that. Anything God gives you to give to someone else will always be encouraging. Let me be clear. Always. It will never be accusing. It will never be fault-finding. It will never be down, you know, putting someone down in any way. It will always be encouraging. Can it be revealing of things? Yes, but it will always, always, always be encouraging. Always. So the next thing is verse 14 through 16. I want to point this out. It says, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. I declare in Jesus' name the promises of God over us. And this right here, he said, do my prophets no harm. He said he wouldn't allow wrong to be done. So I declare right now in Jesus' name over our body, over everyone in this building, over everyone connected to us, over every other church in this city too, and beyond, whatever God says, no wrong be done. No harm come. We are entering a new season. We are entering into a season of harvest. And this attack stuff and all this junk that's been happening and for so many people and whatever, it stops here, it stops now. It's over. Don't mean we won't have some skirmishes. It just means the attack is over. Do no harm. No wrong will be done. Because I know that I know that I know we're entering that season. You know, if you read this whole chapter, you realize it talks about Moses and it talks about Joseph. It talks about those long time periods when long seasons for them, where they were in bondage, they were in slavery in Egypt, and God raised up Joseph from within the kingdom and put him in second in command and gave provision. Joseph did. Then he raised up Moses to deliver from within the kingdom. As a baby, he was floated down, taken into Pharaoh's house and raised in Pharaoh's house. God is so awesome. He does not forget his promises. Even though they went through a season, God raised men up to deliver them, to give provision for them, to break things off. So I believe, I know, what God is speaking is that we're entering into a season. Yeah, we've labored. Yeah, we've been through stuff. But this season now that we're entering into is a season like Moses coming. It's a season like Joseph being raised up. It's a season where God has raised up from within, and there will be favor. There will be provision. There will be no harm. There will be things coming that are God and they are good. Now, when it's talking in this chapter, and I'm not going to read all this, there's just parts I'm going to read, but I don't want to read everything. But when it goes through the story of Joseph and it goes through the story of Moses being raised up and those things, you can read the whole chapter, chapter 105 of Psalms, read the whole thing, and you'll see it. It talks about what God did. You know, God did to Egypt for Moses and stuff like that, and that he took care of things. I want you to remember when you see this, that God is our defender. He takes care of us. And he, in this, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 3, and 4 says, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers. Okay, so we've been declaring for years now, we've been praying, we've been pressing in, believing for our city. Principalities and powers rule over areas. I don't know about you, but we wouldn't be getting hit if we weren't breaking through. I mean, it's just the truth. It is the truth. We would not be getting hit if we weren't breaking through. We would not be getting hit if we weren't on the verge of breaking through. And we're entering into those seasons where God's going to do some awesome things. So, with that said, remember, he also said, yes, when they were few in number, very few. Just remember that. Verse 24. It says, he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. So I believe in this season, like we've already talked about, there's increase coming. God's going to add to those who are called. There's so many people out here that are called to be with us, and they're coming in. Why? Because we need help. If we're going to see this harvest come in, and we're going to harvest, and we're going to help, and we're going to sow, we're going to need a lot more help. And God, that's God's deal. We do what we're supposed to do, and God's responsible for the rest. I'm not worried about it. I know it's God, and I know it's coming. I know it's a promise that he's made. Verse 36 and 37 says, he also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. So I receive that. I declare that. I ask God fulfill that promise for us. His promises are yes and amen. They're there for us to ask. We have not because we ask not. We just asked. None feeble among us. We come out of this time with provision, with everything we need to see what we need to happen. What we need to happen, but what God wants to happen. To secure his inheritance. To fulfill what he's called us to do. Individually and corporately. It's all tied together. So, verse 40. It says, the people asked and he brought quail. And satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened a rock and water gushed out. It ran in dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise. And Abraham, his servant. He brought out his people with joy. His chosen ones with gladness. He gave them the lands of the Gentiles. And they inherited the labor of nations, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise the Lord. They inherited the labor of nations. Secure the inheritance. There have been many for decades, if not longer, we don't know, that have prayed over this area, that have sowed into this area, that have gone before us, and they have worked, they have tilled, they have put their hand to the plow. The Bible says that one sows and another reaps. There are so many that have gone before us that have sowed. We have sowed. they inherited the labor of nations. We are going to inherit the labor. Not just his inheritance. There's so much more to securing the inheritance. With God, you and I both know there's always more than we realize. I mean, there's angels around his throne that have been there for so long, and every time they raise their head, they see something else and drop and go, holy, holy, holy. Why? Because there's always more with God. And it's always good. Always good. You know, through everything, that accident and stuff, there was never a time where I was in any way worried. It was a struggle. Was it painful? Yes. But there was one moment that was not a worry or a concern. It was just a reality thing where God, I felt like, I don't say God, I just realized, like, I don't know. They were taking me from the emergency, from observation where I was after surgery, and they were taking me for another scan of my head. And it was after I'd had some difficulty, and I think I'd blacked out or something. You know, there were several things. But anyway, so one of those moments, and the young man that came and took me, I don't know if I just didn't remember or if I was in a different place before, I don't know. But this particular trip, this hospital was so massive. It was so huge. It was so easy to get lost. I mean, even the people there, we were going down the hall and people were asking, how do I get here? How do I get there? Where am I at? I mean, it was that big. But what I remember is this particular trip, he was taking me down this hall and he knew where he was going. I didn't know where I was at. But I remember going down this hall and this elevator and making this turn and that turn. And then there was this moment where it was just like, you know that feeling of feeling like you're lost? It was that moment, and it was like, oh my goodness. But then there was a revelation with that. How terrible would it feel to feel that and not know him? See, I knew him, so I wasn't worried at all. But there are so many that are lost that there's going to be a moment when somebody else is pushing the gurney where they have no control. I had no control over where I was going. I had to go wherever he took me. There is a moment for every one of us where the control of it is not ours anymore. We're alive right now. We're breathing air. There's control. We get to choose. There's going to be a moment where we don't get to. That is truth. That is reality. What I realized in that moment was, thank you, Jesus, that I know you. Because when the day comes and this is real, like this is not just an accident, this is time to meet you, I already know you. And you're the one pushing the gurney. You're the one taking me where I'm supposed to go. And I can rest in that fact. He is the one, if we know him, that will be taking us where we're supposed to go. He is the one that lives in us. He is the one who has called us. He is the one who does not forget promises. He is the one that's going to take us into seasons of harvest and goodness. He is the one that takes care of us. He is the one that protects us through bad times. He's the one that's with us, even when things are happening that are terrible. And he's the one that blesses us And he's the one that doesn't forget his promises. He's the one that raises up men like Moses and Joseph from within kingdoms that have had slavery for thousands of years on his people, or hundreds of years on his people. And he is the one who does not forget anything that we do in service for him, in love for him, in calling for him. And he does not forget us, ever. And everything we've done, everything we will do, everything we're called to, he does not forget. He will not forget. And what I want to say is this. If you're here today and you're not absolutely sure who's going to be pushing your stretcher, don't wait. Don't wait another moment. Because let me tell you something. There was a split second. Next thing I knew, I woke up on a stump, looking at it, looking up. Okay, I'm all right, let's go back to work. No. No. But it was that fast that it could have been all over. But God. And through it all, he's done amazing things. Healing process, recovery. He's with you. He's with me if we know him. So let me encourage you with this. If you don't know him, do not leave this building tonight without knowing him. It's as simple as believing with your heart and confessing with your mouth. Do it. Come up and let us know. We will pray with you. It is, you don't want to wait. It's easy to get complacent, and it's easy to forget how quick things can change. Easy. It's easy to think that we're in control and that we can do what we want. When reality is, yeah, you can do what you want. And yeah, you can be complacent. But there is a day coming when you don't want to be in the place where you've done that. So respond to him. Let him into your heart. Make sure that that is sure of what's going to happen that day you're pushed down the hallway. Whatever it is. That you know Jesus. Beyond that, let me say this. You have a calling. You know Jesus, you're a believer, you can pray for people. You know Jesus, you're a believer, you can get words for people. Words, meaning God speaks to you and you share it. If you don't know how to get a word or hear his voice, encourage people. And learn how to hear his voice. Dig into relationship with him and grow that relationship with him. You know, if you don't know somebody, if you don't know, you know, let me just real quick. There's certain people when you answer the phone, they do not have to say, "Hey, this is Jeff. Hey, this is Jill." Whatever. You can hear their voice, hello, and know who they are. How does that happen? Spending time. So let me encourage you. You're called if you know Jesus. If you've asked him into your heart before, get filled with the Holy Ghost. If you're not, give your heart completely to him and press in to what you're called to do and be. Step out and believe. Try. Don't be scared of making mistakes. Try. Learn. Develop who you're called to be. There is a world out there waiting for you. There are people that will be pushed down a hallway in a gurney like me. And you may, you will, you are. And correct all that. You are the only person that will reach them. Whether by prayer and word or whatever, all of the above. So if you would stand tonight. Father God, I just pray over this word, God, what you've spoken and are speaking, God. And I ask you in the name of Jesus to bring reality to all of us tonight. Just a revelation, just a time of reflection, and beyond that, not just reflection, but God, that you would sink this word into our hearts, that we would do something with it, that we would step out in faith and do things this week, today, even tonight, God, if we encounter people going places, stopping on the way home, whatever it is, that we would begin, all of us, trying, myself and Paula and the leadership here included, doing even more, that you would just encourage those things in every person here tonight, God, to step into that. And Father, I lift up right now in Jesus' name, if there's any individual here that you do not know that you know that you know, let me tell you something. If you're not sure, not sure. You want to be sure of who's going to be pushing that thing, because one day you're going to be out of control, and you want to be sure that Jesus is the one with you in that moment. So Father, I just lift every individual here up tonight, God, and if there's anyone here, I encourage them, I speak to them, I ask you to speak to their hearts, God, because your word says that the Holy Spirit draws men unto you, and God, I just pray that you would draw individuals tonight. If there's any one person here even that does not know for sure that they have a relationship with you, that they would not leave this building tonight without knowing for sure they have a relationship with you. And the second thing is that everyone here who knows they have a relationship would press into that with everything they have. In Jesus' name.